Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Been doing a devotion with my kids and talking to them, and even did it with the football team last night from Daniel chapter number 6. And one of the things we talked about in the life of Daniel is that he always seemed to rise to the top, much like Joseph. He rose to the top regardless of circumstances. Daniel chapter number 6. I want to look at the first three verses. We'll look briefly at verse 3 once we finish, and then we'll go to the throne of grace and ask God's blessings. The Bible said it pleased Darius, Daniel 6 verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now I want you to notice, it says Daniel was preferred, the Bible says. It tells us he was preferred. And that's the simple title of the message tonight, that Daniel was preferred. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for your many blessings upon my life, the life of the church here at Mount Hebron. Thankful for the people that are faithful. Thankful for the people that love you. Thankful for the people that study the Word of God, not because they're coerced into doing it, but because they love you. Thankful for the people that took time of their busy life. I know many people here are tired, but they're here tonight. So we pray that they would receive something from your Word that would be an encouragement and a blessing to them. We ask God that you would go with us and help us understand some principles to live by, that we might live a life of preference. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at Daniel chapter 6, and when it says Daniel was preferred above all, basically. Why was Daniel preferred? I mean, if you just look at this, in this passage it says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents. If there was any princes there, he was above them. If you think of something being preferred, you think of something that is being elevated, something that you evaluate as something special, something that gets preferential treatment. Make sure I'm on. It means to put in a top slot. It means somebody or something that you're going to put to the top. It gets preference before other things. Now, Daniel, his life was preferred above other people's. His life got top slot above all others who would serve as leaders in the realm of the Mede and Persian Empire. Daniel had that ability. Now, Daniel was preferred. And I want to say to you, it wasn't just one king. Have you ever worked someplace and didn't get along with one particular boss, and they get a new boss, and you get along with him pretty good, and you're thankful you got a new boss? Or maybe you've been somewhere and you got along with the boss and they got rid of him. The new boss come along and he didn't give you preference, but the other guy did. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's just the way life is. But I want you to understand something about Daniel. You go all the way back to chapter number 1. Daniel was preferred by the guy that was in charge of all those captives, young captains, a man by the name of Melzar in Daniel chapter number 1. And in fact, I just want to, I'll go back and read it to you. Daniel 1, verse number 9, it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." This prince's name was Melzar. He, may I say to you, Melzar preferred Daniel. Not only did you find that Melzar preferred Daniel, you go to Daniel chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he preferred Daniel. In fact, the king, the Bible says, made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over his whole province. Just kept elevating him. And it says, "And chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon,
And you'll find that Daniel, having his place of preference amongst the king, was in a position to make sure that he had like-minded people around him and other godly people that could be elevated. And you'll read in verse 49 that he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego along with him. And you'll find that although they was elevated to the top, Daniel, the Bible says, sat in the gate of the king. He had preference with Nebuchadnezzar. But not only had preference with Nebuchadnezzar, is you'll find that the captain of the guard in the book of Daniel in chapter 2, Daniel had preference with Arioch, captain of the guard in the land of the Babylonian Empire. But not only did he have preference with Nebuchadnezzar, Melzar, and Arioch, you'll read in chapter number 5 that Daniel had preference even with Belshazzar, who was a wicked, wicked, ungodly king. He preferred Daniel above everyone else that was in the realm. Now, not only do we stop there with Belshazzar, but you'll find that he was preferred by Darius. And we just read about this in chapter number 6. But not only was he preferred by Darius the Mede, he was also preferred by Cyrus the Persian. Now, you say, preacher, and I'll tie this in here just in a second, but Daniel got special treatment from all these guys. And I want to say to you, Daniel didn't have to compromise or do wrong to get special preference. There was something about Daniel that people respected and they trusted. That's what it was. Everyone. Now, I want to say to you, he was a young man and they trusted him. He was a young man, but yet they respected him. You see, Daniel wasn't ever trying to set out to be anybody. He wasn't trying to be a somebody. Daniel was just trying to be the person that God wanted him to be. I mean, it's that simple. I want you to understand that Daniel, he was a captive in a strange land. He'd been taken to be a slave and forced to serve in the enemy palace. His lifespan went across three kingdoms, basically. The kingdom of Judah. His lifespan went through the Babylonian Empire. His lifespan went into the Mede and Persian Empire. I want to say to you, and Daniel was there to influence all three. Now, there's something about it. What did he do? I want you to understand. He was preferred by several different leaders. Everyone trusted Daniel. Everyone respected Daniel. It wasn't because that Daniel was a Babylonian that the Babylonians respected him. It wasn't that he was a Persian, and that's the reason the Persians respected him. I want you to understand that he didn't have the attitude that many people do today, that when you're in Rome, you act like a Roman. That wasn't his attitude. So he didn't have the attitude when the Babylonians were in power. When I'm in the Babylonian Empire, I'm going to act like a Babylonian. When the Persians are in power and the Medes are in control, I'm going to act like a Persian and a Mede. He didn't do that. That wasn't Daniel's character. I want you to understand that Daniel was preserved and he was preferred because of his integrity. Are you with me with that? But not only that, he had principles he lived by. He was preferred because he was a young man of convictions and his life was pure. And I want you to understand, he remained pure throughout the whole time he was immersed in an ungodly, pagan culture. He remained pure. Now, you look at this, I want to say to you, Daniel, he was preferred because he wasn't the average run-of-the-mill Christian. He wasn't that. There's something special about him. Daniel was preferred not because he was a suck-up either. Amen. Huh? And that only lasts you for so long. I want to tell you, if you're someone that's honest, someone that is trustworthy, someone that people have respect in, that'll last. Suck-up, he wasn't preferred because he's a suck-up. It wasn't because he glossed over his life with phony veneer. That wasn't Daniel. That wasn't the reason he was preferred. He was preferred because he was an individual of outstanding character. Now, why was he preferred? I'm going to say to give you three things tonight. Number one, the reason Daniel was preferred, he had an impeccable spirit. You look in verse number 3. I want you to see this. He had an impeccable spirit. The Bible says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, the princes that was in that realm, because he had an excellent spirit was in him. Now, that makes it very clear. Here's the reason Daniel was preferred. He had an excellent spirit. Now, think about this. What does that mean? I want you to understand, I believe that he was an individual that had his attitude right. Now, I want you to look at the Scriptures tonight. He wasn't promoted because he was a Persian. Persians in power. The Medo-Persian Empire is in control here at this time. It wasn't because that he was a Persian. He was a Jew. I want you to understand, he's on enemy turf. He didn't agree with their lifestyle. He didn't agree with the way they live. He didn't agree with the way they talk. He didn't agree with their culture. And you know what happened? The king began to observe Daniel even through all this. Daniel wasn't disrespectful. Daniel just served his God. Daniel did what was asked of him. Daniel did it with a good attitude. Daniel had a good spirit. And the Bible says that Daniel, he preferred him because he had an excellent spirit. What does excellent mean? We talk about something being preferred. That's something you like a whole lot more than something else. Amen. That's something you're going to put at the top. But we know what excellent is. Excellent is above average. Excellent is above good. Excellent is great. Amen. You'll find that he had an excellent spirit. Now, I want you to understand, there's some people out here, they excel in the academic world. Why? Because they got an excellent IQ. Some of us wasn't blessed with an excellent IQ. Huh? Say, oh me, or ouch, or amen. All right. Some of us wasn't blessed with that. So, that's great, but not all. Some excel in athletics because physically they're just something they have. I mean, I look at my little brother, and man, I've never seen a kid like him. I mean, when he was six, he dropped down to give you 100 push-ups and looked like a man doing it. I mean, Grant talks real slow. Grant, will you watch me do some push-ups? And he'll knock them out. And I'm kidding you. I mean, do chin-up, pull-up. I never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, he's nine now, but it just amazes me. And my dad, he tries to tell me that, oh, that's in our genes. And I say, Daddy, it skipped a few generations in. Amen. And so, I want you to understand that some just excel, but not all. It's not necessarily fair, but I want you to understand that we all can excel in regards to attitude. Every single one of us can excel. May not be able to academically, athletically, but we can in regards to our attitude. Now, I want you to understand that I've seen some people, and you look at them, they look melancholy. You know what that is? Head shaped like melon, face like collie. You ever see them run around? Everything's just miserable in life. I've seen some teenagers sometimes, you look at them, you think, man, the whole world's turned upside down. They're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they got bills to pay, they got problems to deal with. I mean, there's a long face, they could eat ice cream out of a churn. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Daniel wasn't that way. Daniel had an excellent spirit, the Bible says. And I want you to talk about, and here's what I want us to understand, the way we talk, the way we act, is a direct reflection of our spirit. Direct reflection of our attitude. And you see, as a parent, one thing I've learned, kids are going to do some dumb things. I mean, the other day, I don't know what Andrew was thinking. I never even said anything to him about it. There was a dump truck driving in behind the fence, behind the house. He's standing there with the tomatoes. Dump truck comes by, and he chucks it. Like, I'm going to get in a stinking fight. Thank goodness he missed. That guy looked at him like, what are you doing? And I don't even know why Andrew even done it. I don't think he done it necessarily to be mean. I just think, moment of inspiration, hit a boy. It'd be fun to throw this tomato at that truck. I don't think he did it out of malice. I don't think he did it just to be, because he didn't like that guy. I think he just did it because boys do dumb things. Huh? Got news for you, girls do too. Huh? And, but you know, I didn't rush out there and beat him. In fact, he knows now that I saw him do it. Eli got him, though, whacked him with some big metal thing. Saw that happen, too, but I was so far away I couldn't do nothing about it. So I figured God took care of it, amen, through Eli, the ministry of Eli. And it's always interesting just to watch them. They do things. Sometimes they work, but you know what will get them in trouble more than anything? I say, go get the trash can. I went and got it last time. Huh? Man, that gets me mad. Right? You want me to tell you what gets me wrong? The attitude. Bring your clothes downstairs. And they stomp and growl. Huh? I mean, you know what? Sometimes they're going to do some things. They growl like that. Man, I get mad then. You know what I tell you what? Because their attitude's all wrong. Right? And as a parent, I want to tell you what you got to watch for more sometimes than actions. They can deceive us, their actions, but their attitude can be all out of sorts. And they're going to do silly things, but if their attitude's wrong when they do those silly things, that's when they really need correcting. And I want you to understand that what even in our own children's life, we got to watch that. Their spirit, if a child's spirit and attitude is right, you know what else will be right? Their actions. Huh? They may do some things out of just childhood foolishness. They may do some things just out of ignorance. They may do some things just out of being a kid. But as far as being disrespectful and doing things on purpose, not necessarily, if their spirit and their attitude is correct. I want you to understand that our Christianity is a spirit or is a religion of the spirit. Now think about this. I believe this is what sets Christianity apart from all others. In fact, every religion has some type of moral standard. They may be different, but they have different moral standards. Every religion has some form of worship. Almost every religion has a place of worship. Almost every religion has some book that they use as their guide. Almost every religion has some type of form of ritual that they go through. But you'll find that Christianity, although there is some of those things that are physical, are some that form that we go through, Christianity is a religion primarily of the Spirit. It's not just things that we can accomplish through the flesh. Not just things that we can do on the outside to show it. It's things of the inward Spirit. Why did in the book of Galatians, and you can go there and read it, I'll rehearse it to you in layman's terminology, but the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, remember those things, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, godliness, temperance or self-control, goodness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Those things are going to be demonstrated in our life. Now, the Bible says against those things, the law basically has no hold on someone if they're living according to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to say to you, every area of our life ought to be affected by our Christianity. Every single area. Listen, you can't divorce your Christianity from your vote. That's good preaching. Uh-huh. You can't do it. You can't divorce your Christianity from your business. I've had some businessmen, well, business is business, church is church, and family is family. No, it's not. It ought to affect everything you do. It ought to affect the way you do it. It ought to affect the way you interact with people. I mean, I got to remind myself, yes, I hoot and holler and try to encourage kids to go and play hard and push them on, but I got to remind them my coaching that my coaching is not separate from my Christianity. Right? We can't live separate from our Christianity. If I go play basketball, I've got to remind myself that I can't separate myself from my Christianity. I can't divorce it because it should be a part of me. You see, a Christ-like spirit is a must if you're going to have an excellent spirit. But I want you to understand something else. I believe one of the keys to having an excellent spirit is to have an encouraging spirit. Now, I want you to understand anybody can go around and mope around like an old hound dog that is just mad at the world. You've seen people like that. I've got news for you. That type of person is not going to get preferential treatment from anybody. If you hire somebody, and I've seen it, there's times that I hired people and I thought, man, the resume looks good, talk to them pretty good, and then they mope around the whole time at work, it would drive me crazy. It almost drive me insane. You know what? I didn't give them much preferential treatment, walk around growling and acting like everything was the burden of the world was on them. You asked them to do something a little bit different, then they complained and grumbled. The way I look at it, if you're getting paid $10 an hour, it doesn't matter if you're sweeping a parking lot or hauling gas, it's all the same by the hour. Say amen. Now, I just didn't understand that logic and that thinking. And so what I'm saying to you, what we need, Daniel had a good reason to be negative. He had a better reason to be negative than any of us here. As a little boy, as a young man, they took him out of his homeland, away from everything he loved, everything he held dear and brought him to a place that was foreign to him. They immersed him in the culture. They didn't ask him, where did you want to go to school? They didn't ask him, what do you want to study? They said, this is what you're going to study, this is what you're going to learn, and you better like it. Huh? You'll find that they it wasn't no choice for him. It was exactly what they told him. Listen, he was in a palace. He was doing things. I mean, his life was on the line on many of the decisions, many of the things that he'd say. I want you to understand, he had reason. He could look around and say, you know what, life ain't fair. Life ain't fair. I don't like this. Man, I think I ought to get treated better than this. Daniel didn't do that. He was preferred, the Bible tells us. He had an excellent spirit. I want you to understand, he could have been negative, but I believe Daniel refused to do that. Because I want to tell you what happens when you're yielded to God and yielded to the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God will show himself through you. His characteristics will be produced in your character traits. That's what I believe. If you're yielded to God. I believe he had a positive spirit. Therefore, he had an excellent spirit. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Man, I tell you what will help you through life is if you just look at all the woe side, a lot of people, they have, instead of rose-colored glasses, they got woe-colored glasses. Amen? They look at everything in a negative light. Daniel didn't do that. I believe they looked at Daniel, there's a smile on his face. I believe Daniel enjoyed the day. You know, that's what it says in Proverbs 17:22. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now I'm just going to give you a little bit of Grant Hardwick theology, okay? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. What's in the bones? The marrow. What's the marrow, whatever you want to call it? Depends on what side of Kentucky you're in, I guess. What does it do? It produces blood, does it not? That's what its job is. That's what its function is. And the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. The marrow dries up, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. You want me to tell you why some people have no spiritual vitality? It's because they all dried up because they don't have a merry heart or their spirit's not right. That's Grant Hardwick theology. I want you to understand that Daniel, I believe, had an excellent spirit. I believe he's joyous. I believe Daniel was encouraging. I believe he remained positive. Let me tell you another reason that Daniel was preferred. He had an irrefutable testimony. He had an irrefutable testimony. Now, you look at Daniel, and there's several things that jump out at you, but he had an irrefutable. I mean, you look at the Scriptures. The Bible says this. This Daniel was preferred above all the president. He preferred above everybody else. And you know what happened? The reason they set him over the whole realm was because the king should have no damage. He didn't want a bunch of crooks in there. That's a good novel idea, isn't it? Get rid of the crooks in political powers. That's a good idea. Imagine we done that. Imagine we put somebody in and made sure everybody was doing things honest in Congress. Huh? Boy, this world would get shook up. Y'all getting quiet on me, and I don't like it. I don't preach longer. I want you to understand that he had an irrefutable testimony. What happened was that his people didn't like Daniel either. And by the way, anytime God starts blessing somebody, you watch, there'll always be those that are jealous. And the Bible says that those people that were under Daniel sought to find an occasion against Daniel. Now, was it because Daniel done anything wrong? By the way, you can be right with God, have an excellent spirit, and still yet have people that don't like you. I mean, that's just a fact. There's people out there that I know don't like Grant Hardwick, and there ain't much else I can do about it. I'm just trying to be nice to them. They may decide that they're going to be my enemy, but I don't have to let them be my enemy. Amen? So that's the approach you got to take. So the Bible says that they wanted to find something against Daniel to hold it over his head. Let's get him out of this position. Let's bring some charge against him. Well, they could find none occasion, nor fault, for as much as he was a faithful, It said, neither was any there error or fault found in him. And they said, you know what? We can't find anything wrong with Daniel. This guy drives me crazy. He's too good to be true. That was a thought against Daniel. He's just too good to be true. Let me tell you what else would happen. The Bible tells us that what they did then, they come about and they got together and said, we'll find no fault or occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law and his God. We have to find something against Daniel and the law and his God. So you know what they did? They sought out something. And they said the only thing we could find against him is lest we do something, make a law that contradicts the law of God, he's going to obey the law of God because that takes precedent in his life over the laws of the land. And so they searched him, they washed him. But I want you to understand, this is not saying that Daniel was sinless. It was just that Daniel was innocent in everything that he'd done. There's a big difference. Now, I want you to understand that he had an irrefutable testimony, but not only that, he had an indisputable faith. The Bible tells us that as you read in verse number 4, that he was faithful. Daniel was not only faithful in what the things that the authorities told him to take care of, Daniel was faithful in his own personal life. Daniel was faithful even though it might bring about his own death in regards to his relationship to God. Daniel was just faithful. It didn't matter what danger was there. You could not dispute Daniel's faith. There was conspiracy made against him. You know the conspiracy. They come and said, King, and boy, they flattered the king. They said, King, tell you what, you're so special. I think we ought to make a decree, a law here, that for a certain period of time, nobody worships any other god but you, and anybody that's caught praying to any other god besides you, King, ought to be thrown in a den of lions. You know what? They'd watch Daniel, and they knew something Daniel did. He went to his room every day, opened up the window every single day, and he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. They knew he'd done that. So, guess what? The law was made. What's Daniel going to do? Is he going to quit doing what his convictions tell him to do? Is he going to quit following those principles way back yonder when he purposed in his heart some things that he would not do, some things that he would continue to do? Would Daniel cease to do that because there's a law in the land? What you'll find was that conspiracy didn't stop, because you see the character of Daniel in verse number 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, his windows being open in the chamber, and it says toward Jerusalem. He's not trying to hide anything. He opens windows. He kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And notice his statement, as he did aforetime. Wasn't that the law was signed, and Daniel said, bless God, they ain't going to tell me what to do. You know what? The truth of the matter, that's the only reason a lot of Christians would probably start praying, because somebody told them they couldn't pray. Huh? They'd be a rebel. Daniel wasn't being rebel. He didn't have an obstinate spirit. Daniel wasn't being anything like that. I mean, but I want you to understand, God doesn't want me or you to quit doing right because our life may be in jeopardy. God doesn't want us to quit doing right because we might lose our job. God doesn't want us to quit doing right because we may not be liked, or there's somebody out there that's going to get us if we do right. But I want you to understand that Daniel didn't start praying just to be a rebel. What you find that Daniel did, he continued to do what he had done aforetime. All the times before, Daniel just kept doing it. And you know what happened? They come and they brought a charge against him, verse 11 through 14. And by the way, let me tell you something about the king. This is another message, but there's a good application of this. If someone comes to you and starts flattering you, I about almost guarantee you they probably got an ulterior motive. Huh? If someone comes to you and starts just building you up, bragging on you, I mean just really doing it. There's nothing right. There's a difference between encouraging and then saying a bunch of bull. God help us to have enough sense to know the difference. But you want to tell you why a lot of people don't? Because their ego's too big. Man, that'll preach right there. King liked what they had to say. He agreed to it. But guess what? When he found out, and they come brought the charge, says, well, you know, didn't we make this law? Look what Daniel's doing. King get mad? The only person he got mad at was himself. In fact, he tried every way in the world to get out of it. You want me to tell you why? Because he still preferred Daniel. But of all those other idiots that connived into making this law, Daniel was preferred by the king. They brought the charge. In essence, what they did, they brought a challenge against Daniel's God. And I love it, and I won't read it all, but you can go back and read it, verse 16 through 28, and I'll give you the cliff notes of it. But when they was all was done, they couldn't spare Daniel, the king come down there, and he makes a statement toward him, and King spake to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, notice that, the God whom you serve continually, he will deliver thee. And they brought him, they threw Daniel in the den of the lions, a bunch of hungry lions down there. King, he went to his palace, he passed that night fasting, he was upset, There wasn't anybody playing any music. There was no joy in the palace. He didn't sleep that night. He woke up early in the morning. He ran to with a den of lions. When he come there, he cried out and said, "Daniel," and the Bible says with a lamentable voice. He said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." I'll tell you something else about Daniel. Not only is he preferred by all those leaders, he was preferred by God. Preferred by God. I want to say to you, he had an excellent spirit, Daniel did. His testimony was impeccable. You'll find that his faith was something that wouldn't move regardless of the circumstances going on around him. You know, circumstances don't dictate how we live. Circumstance shouldn't dictate our attitude. Because if it did, Daniel would have failed the test. But I want you to understand, Daniel passed the test with God and man because of his character. He was someone that was trustworthy. He was someone to be respected. And God gave him special preference. That we ought to seek to please God. And I promise you, if we do that, we'll find preference in this world. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. And ask you to bless this message. God, help us have the right attitude, the right spirit in life.
God, including me, every day I need to get up and do an evaluation. I need to do a checkup. Because it's so easy to develop negative thoughts, so easy to think wrong, so easy to have a wrong outlook. God, help us as your people to see life the way you want to see it. Help us be courageous and bold for your honor and your glory. And I pray, God, that you give us people with an excellent spirit here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.